Europe's biggest economy could be headed for fresh elections.
The turmoil that follows is very unhealthy for the German economy and will have consequences well beyond the German border.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel is back to square one after a potential partner said auf Wiedersehen to a coalition government. September's election left her with a fractured mandate, and she's been trying to get parties with opposing views to be part of a rather unwieldy coalition. The BBC's Jenny Hill in Berlin explains the economic issues over which the talks collapsed.
Well, perhaps unsurprisingly, one of the main problems was agreement over environmental issues. The Green Party, of course, have a very specific stance, as to the pro-business Free Democrats and the Conservatives. So, for example, Germany's coal-fired energy production was an issue. So too was refugee policy. There were big disagreements over whether asylum seekers, in particular those from Syria, should be allowed to bring family members to join them here in Germany. Very sensitive topic, of course, in Germany, given that the far-right and anti-immigrant party AfD did so well in the September election, so that really divided the parties. There is fury among the other parties, actually, that the FDP have pulled out at this stage. And, of course, the turmoil that follows is very unhealthy for the German economy and will have consequences well beyond the German border.
So talk us through what may happen next, and what does this mean for Europe's biggest economy?
There are very few options on the table. Mrs. Merkel could form a minority government. It's unlikely. She says she doesn't want to. So we're looking really at fresh elections, I think. And of course, what we don't know is whether her own party want Mrs. Merkel to lead them into those elections again. What we do know is that Mrs. Merkel is going to be focused on domestic policy now and for the foreseeable future. She wasn't at an EU summit of leaders at the end of last week. She's just cancelled a meeting planned for today with the Dutch Prime Minister. In addition to that, I think economically, we're going to see a lot of uncertainty. The German Chamber of Commerce has warned about that already this morning. We know that the markets have got very nervous over what's going on here. So I think a prolonged period of uncertainty.
Jenny Hill, let's do the numbers. Markets in Asia and Europe are down. Japan's Nikkei closed down 135 points, or 0.6%. Germany's DAX has recovered from earlier losses at the start of the day. It's now up by just 2 points. Now, Toshiba makes everything from computer chips to home appliances, but the company's shares fell nearly 5% on news it's trying to raise more than $5 billion through a massive new stock listing. Peter Wells, Tokyo correspondent for the Financial Times, told me why it needs such a big capital injection.
Toshiba ran into trouble over the past year or so with their US nuclear subsidiary Westinghouse that had been beset by cost overruns and delays. And essentially, they were forced to take a multi-billion dollar write-down on that at the start of the year. And that has meant that their liabilities now outweigh their assets on their balance sheet. And in Japan, if you have liabilities outweighing assets for 2 years in a row, you face a forced delisting. So by trying to raise money in this share sale, they are essentially trying to put some money into that hole and prevent being delisted from the stock exchange.
Peter Wells. Since 2014, when the US and Cuba announced better ties, tourism boomed, so much so that the Cuban government planned to make it the country's main economic driver. But that hasn't exactly worked out, as the BBC's Will Grant reports from Trinidad in central Cuba.
Trinidad is one of the island's most popular tourist destinations. A picturesque colonial town on the southern coast, its cobbled streets and beautifully preserved plazas attract tens of thousands of tourists each month. Hector Civit owns a bed and breakfast in the town. Originally from Spain, he and his Cuban wife began the business almost exactly as relations with the United States began to warm at the end of 2014. For almost 2 years, he barely had a free room for a single night. Such was the scale of the tourist boom.
Normal occupation was about 90%, and now probably it's not more than 20%. February and March, I have more reservations, and we will see, but it's not the same like before.
Hector partly blames the perception of Hurricane Irma. Trinidad was hit by the storm, but the damage was relatively minor and things got back to normal quickly.
It's a very unusual attack, as you know, but I do believe Cuba is responsible, yes.
President Donald Trump has taken a far more hostile stance towards Cuba than his predecessor, especially since the strange incidents of the supposed health attacks against US diplomats in Havana. Bilateral relations are openly hostile again. The Trump administration's latest travel advice for Cuba now directly tells US citizens to stay away. The last time I was in the town, I met Emilio Ochoa and his wife Fatima. they had invested their entire savings in renovating their home into rooms for tourists. Despite the downturn in business and the risk of losing their investment, Emilio remains optimistic.
I think it's always going to be busy enough. I've heard of people who've invested a lot and haven't been able to make it back. But we're sticking to the rules and growing little by little.
At night, the streets of Trinidad are still busy, but the huge throngs of visitors are missing. At this stage, it's too early to say if Cuba's simply experiencing the kind of low season it hadn't seen for 2 years, or if it's something more serious.
In Cuba, I'm the BBC's Will Grant for Marketplace.
Finally, 70 years of marriage is worth celebrating, especially 70 years of a royal marriage. Queen Elizabeth is the first British monarch to reach her platinum wedding anniversary today. She'll celebrate with a private dinner at Windsor Castle. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.